2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Everybody who knows me right now knows I'm all about think better, live better. It's the only way to go. And we are going to get into developing an eternal perspective. So I'm going to read from verse 16 to 18, that's 2 Corinthians 4, 16 to 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, our inner man, that inner man is a spiritual man, is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Right? So look what he's talking about. While we do not look at the things which are seen. So if your focus, of course, this is not like go around blindfolded, of course. What he's talking about now here is, right, is that we are moving towards something, right? Something that is eternal. And if our perspective, if how we see things, our vision is just in the temporal, we will have problems. We will have problems. If I just live for today and there's a tomorrow, I'm going to have problems tomorrow because the decisions I made for today are going to impact me for tomorrow. You know, one of the things I found, one very liberating way to look at life is through the lenses of eternity. Really. It's just through the lenses of eternity. You know, so back in the Middle Ages in England, I went to they're called primary schools over there, called elementary schools here, school called All Saints. And right at the back of All Saints and all of the schools, all of the churches in England for the most part, are all from the Middle Ages. 1,000 years old is nothing. Over there, and we used to play soccer, and we played soccer, and our soccer ball would go over from the All Saints School into the All Saints Cemetery. So we would literally be getting our ball off these graves, and these graves were right in your face. And you know why we're learning history? Is because during the Middle Ages, they wanted to give people a constant reminder of death. Death is coming. That eternity is coming. Here, we've hidden it. Look at the cemeteries. You look at the cemeteries around today, the modern day cemetery, they look like golf courses. It's like we're hiding death, right? It's that we're hiding death and we're living for today. We have to develop this eternal perspective. I know that definitely one of the things that has helped me in the way that I think is I don't think in a temporal way. Thinking in a temporal way is like going down a dead-end street and trying to get out the other side. You don't get out of a dead-end street. You have to come back and get out the way you came in, right? And so look what Paul even says. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. So we do not lose heart. We do not get down, right? Because of this eternal perspective. Paul has gone through all of these trials and tribulations he's been going through, right? But now he summed it up here. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For For these light afflictions are produced for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are not seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. What is he saying? There's a whole reality out there that we don't see, but it's more real than the material reality that we do see. Do you see? Just joking. But do you see what I'm saying? What he's actually saying is this, is that there's a reality that we don't see. Don't think that something isn't real because it's not tangible in a physical sense, right? Thoughts. Nobody can give me an MRI or any kind of test where they can see my thoughts, right? Because that's the immaterial part of me. You can see my brain, but you can't see my mind. Can't see what I'm thinking about, right? You can't see my emotions, right? You can't see any of that. But here's what, though. Those things are more real than our physical reality. You know why? Because it's the emotions that affect the physical. When you go to the doctor, and has anybody ever been to the doctor and your blood pressure has been somewhat elevated? And they'll say, oh, you're nervous that you're coming today? What is he asking? Is because what you are thinking, right, as a factor, which you can't see, has affected the material reality, which he can see, right? And so that's why he asks you that question. What the enemy really, if you think about it, gets us to do, it gets us to focus on now. He gets us to focus on now. If I were to say, where Peter and the rest of the disciples messed up, right? They thought that Jesus' mission was a tangible one, right? Was a physical one. Look, they tried to make him king. No, you won't go to the cross. No, we don't want you to die. We want you to overthrow the Romans. Everything was tangible. Even the people for the water and wine. Oh, he could have got thousands. He could have had a big convention if he wanted to, right? Until he said, those who desire to come after me, pick up your cross and follow me. Okay, Jesus, we'll see you later. What we have to focus on is the spiritual reality, right? But here's the thing. A lot of people think, well, you know, if I focus on the spiritual reality, then the physical reality will fall to pieces. No. If you focus on the spiritual reality, the physical reality will come together. That's how it works. Will come together. A lot of people, no, I'm not going to let God let my life fall to pieces. He said he won't. Everybody knows that scripture. Matthew 6, verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added. It's God doesn't say, seek this, seek that, seek this, seek that, seek that. You'll be so confused seeking. No, you seek one thing. And seeking that one thing causes everything to come together. But it starts with developing that eternal perspective, right? How you look at things, not living for today, but living for eternity. C.S. Lewis said this. He said that if you focus on the here and now, the temporal, you get nothing. He said, if you focus on the eternal, you get the temporal thrown in as a bonus. Really, really. That's what we've got to get out of. We got to get out of the here and now. Everything I have this perspective that, you know, eternity is in view. It expands your horizon. I got to tell you, I'm telling you this right now. I know that kind of thinking has mitigated a lot of my depression. Before, I used to feel so enclosed, so enclosed. But I thank God, I feel now so expansive. And God has done that. But we have to focus, because this outer man, the outer man is dying, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. So you know what? Is this the problem? Tomorrow, I'll be a little bit more dead than today, right? Physically, but spiritually, I'll be a little bit more alive than today. That's how it works, right? This is how it works. This is why he said, it's the spirit that gives life. We have to feed that spirit. This is the answer. I was saying to someone the other day, I think it was Friday night, someone that I saw late, and I said, listen, meds and all of that stuff, they're only a bridge. Really, I'm okay with you taking them now, but they are only a bridge so that when you get the faith that is necessary, you don't have to do any of that stuff. But it should only be looked upon as a bridge to get you over to a place now where you can lean on your faith and no longer on the meds. Really, should only be a bridge. Me as a therapist, I'm just a bridge for my clients for now. Yes, therapeutically, they can lean on me until they can start leaning on themselves. That's how it works. Kind of look at me as a walker or a cane or a wheelchair. Robert Wheelchair Wilson. Yeah. So on my Facebook, it's wellness. I'm going to change that to wheelchair. But, you know, it's just as a bridge. It's just as a form of support until you can now focus on yourself and totally be able to focus on the Holy Spirit. It's just a bridge. That is all. So understand that. But we have to develop this eternal perspective. You know, I see people with a totally wrong perspective. Oh, I'm going to work my entire life. And then I might have 10, I think it's about 15 years average now that people spend in retirement. I guarantee you, if you've got that kind of thinking, you are going to have anxiety. You are going to have anxiety. And if you have the eternal perspective, you are not going to have anxiety. You know why? If you are a Christian, eternity is sure. But if you are a Christian, retirement is not. So you're going to have anxiety. We have to stop banking and putting our faith and our trust in things that are not secure. Really, our kids, we can't put it in our kids, our spouses. They're contingent upon God. This is why you can only put it in God. But you know why? You know why? The same God yesterday, today, and forever. For as great as your spouses may be, your parents and all of that, one, they're not going to be here forever, right? And things can change. You are going to be anxious and depressed if you're putting your trust in things that can change. I remember I was in a store one day, and this woman said, oh, it's raining again. This rain makes me cranky. Of course you're going to be cranky, because you are focusing, putting your trust in something that is so capricious. The weather, especially in New England, right? I mean, come on, right? It has to be in something that is solid. And that's what you have to ask yourself. Are my belief foundations, are they solid? Have I put trust in things that are faulty? Really, we have to ask ourselves, these questions, almost like a builder would have to ask himself, you know, I'm going to use sand or mud or foundations that are really not solid. They wouldn't do that. And it's the same way with our belief and our trust. We cannot. And this is why I say this about meds. You have to see them as a bridge, right? You have to see them as a bridge. There are certain medication people take for anxiety that make people more anxious. There are certain medications that people take for depression that cause people. I know someone whose brother went on antidepressants and actually committed suicide. They can do that. In other words, they're not a panacea. They're not a definite. They are not. You cannot say, boom, 100 times, hey, out of 100, does the job. You cannot. You can only say that about God. That's why the trust has to be there. Really. In fact, if you're on any medication, are you going through this now? Lord, I know I am just going through this now until, and I'm working on building up the necessary faith where now I'll be able to let go of all of these temporal things and focus on the eternal. Focus on you. The Bible says that for the joy that was set before him, Jesus Christ endured the cross, despising all shame. And now he is seated at the right hand of God. Really, it's got to be that. And understand, as I said in my show, on my show yesterday, that these words are not to be motivational. They are to be existential. In other words, they are to be experienced. We are to experience these words, really. And I was talking about fear. It's true. There should be power, love, and of a sound mind. And here's what I want you guys to do now. If you don't have it, stop saying that this is not for me. I mean, just start writing down. Start journaling. Even if it's just a little tiny journal like this. I have them all over the place. Start journaling. Why don't I have it? Please don't ever say it's not for me, because that's what the enemy wants you to think. Why don't I have it? Where am I thinking wrong? Really, check that. Always, never, ever, ever, ever go to where the enemy wants you to go. And that is questioning the word. No, that works. Here's what you have to question. The soil that the word is falling on. What am I doing wrong? Am I thinking like this? Am I thinking this way? Pray that prayer. Pray yourself through it. Lord God, show me where I am wrong and help me change those things that prevent me from experiencing your word the way I am supposed to. Really. Get into the nooks and crannies. You know, David said a very powerful thing in Psalm 139. Search me, Lord, and see if there's anything inside of me, right? That hinders my relationship, essentially, with you. You know what? And then restore me in the way everlasting. Boom. Really, I'm telling you, let the devotion life become like David's was, as David was writing the Psalms, because for David, essentially, what David was doing in his time, in his mind, David wasn't writing a Psalm. Yeah. You know, those people in Rhode Island, wait till they get a load of this. No, he wasn't thinking like that. Yes, it was for posterity. It was to be passed down. But David was essentially journaling for himself. He was journaling for himself, his own relationship with God. Really, let's get into these nooks and crannies, because too long, Satan has had his way for us. I'm listening to their testimonies. I'm listening to this. These things are all for us. Why is it not working? I know there's people from all walks here who've been on various diets, difficulty losing weight. You've adjusted things, right? I know that Sandy can talk a lot more about that kind of thing than probably anybody, right? You've adjusted things, but never say, oh, well, this diet stuff, it doesn't work for me. No, you adjust the thing. What do I need to do here? What do I need to do there? Yes, that's what to do with the word of God. Understand though, guys, this change is a process. It took me a while to get rid of all of the nonsense that I had. But I'm telling you, you can have freedom from all of this stuff and have a totally different life. The goal, the rest of your life to be the best of your life. Really, that should always be the goal. If you have that eternal perspective, I'm telling you something right now. You will be in bondage if you think like the world thinks. Because you know what? If you don't have an eternal perspective, you just have a temporal perspective. You know what you really are? You are now then in bondage to the material world. Really, you are in bondage to the material world. Because if you're blind to the spiritual world, you're naturally in bondage to the material world. So you have to be open to the spiritual world. And of course, you naturally see the physical world, but you can't allow the material world to blind you from the spiritual world, because that's where our help comes from. We look to the hills, from where comes our help? Because if you're in bondage to the material world, you're really saying that my help only comes from here. That's bondage. That is, if my help only came from here, I would be in dire straits today. Really. So you've got to make sure it's that eternal perspective, not just thinking for today. Watch how things just change incredibly. Really. That's what we have to do. People say, you know, I almost think it's kind of comical to me. Oh, we're living in the last days. We're living in the last days. Stop that in terms of time. No, we were living in the last days since Jesus ascended. Paul was living like the last days. Now, not irresponsibly, like some people are doing. Oh, yeah, we're just going to stop working. We're just almost going to stop living. And we're almost going to wait here like it's, I know, like it's the, you know, Star Trek, beam me up, Jesus. No, we are to live. See, here's the thing. Like Reagan said, we are to walk and chew gum at the same time. We are to live, right? Live with this eternal perspective, right? That, yeah, we're living like in light of Jesus, but at the same time, we are also living for today. And the only way you can do that is have that eternal perspective, and then you're living in today, but you're not trusting in today, you're trusting in the eternal. And so the eternal causes the temporal to come together. And the temporal, focusing on the temporal, causes even that to fall apart. So you have to focus on the bigger picture to get the smaller picture. You get the picture? So, yeah, I know you do.